So those songs are a part of his environment. Just if we didn't catch it, the songs were Can't We Be Sweethearts by the Cleftones, Hearts of Stone by Otis Williams of the Charms, and then Sincerely by the Moonglows. And I was just going to say that those environments don't necessarily capture that wealth, that admiration of wealth, or the luxury that Henry is after. However, they do capture his environment. They capture his surroundings, the music that's being played, and that really illustrates his environment. That really gives us a glimpse of what's going on in his life and what does he want to achieve, what's his dreams, what are his admirations, what are his aspirations. And I think that's the beauty of what Scorsese does in that particular stage, that phase of the film. And then the music gets a little more exciting, it gets richer. It now starts to reflect Henry's life, where he's going, and what he wants. And I think that's beautifully, that's not, that's perfectly captured in the next scene, in the most memorable, one of the most memorable scenes in the film, when Henry takes Karen, his future wife, on a date, and they go through the alternate entrance into the Copacabana, the special entrance into the Copacabana, and here this song plays, by the Crystals, Then He Kissed Me, a beauty. Again, this is such a beautiful song because when you see it in the film, you'll actually know it's one entire take and they're just, you're following them, the camera's following them throughout as they enter the restaurant and then as they go through the VIP entrance into the Copacabana. But this song is special because it gives the viewer that feeling of luxury and wealth, that they're entering an opulent place. And that's exactly mirroring Henry's feeling. He's so proud and he's so, he feels so good because he feels like he's on top of the world right now. He's taking his date all the way throughout a VIP entrance into a big Copacabana event. And it's reflective of that lifestyle and it's just the surface. They're barely scratching the surface, right? Now this is the beginning of his lifestyle, his desire, it's almost an endless desire for wealth and affluence and respect. And right now, he's earned it. Right now, he feels amazing. But eventually, it heightens and to the point to his detriment, right? It heightens and then it ends up betraying him because he suffers. He suffers stupidly because of it. And that greed or that desire for wealth is kind of insatiable, and that's what Scorsese is attempting to convey, right? Even in this beginning phase, in this initial phase, when he starts to date Karen, and when they get married, that song, the songs that are played, particularly the song at their wedding, which we'll play in momentarily, really reflects that. Desire for wealth and that desire for opulence and that he's achieved that. It also reflects that he's achieved that. And we'll hear that shortly, right now actually. Here again, we get Life is But a Dream by the Harptons. We do get that sense of that Henry has achieved the luxury and the wealth that he's always wanted, but this is a more profound song, I think. I think the song reflects that all the things that we want in life. But Henry, as we've observed, has done all the things that one would do, but he's done it in a dishonest and false way. So he has achieved luxury, he has achieved wealth, but he's done that in a phony way. He's done that in a way of cheating and doing illegal things and conning other people. He's done that. That's the vehicle he's used to achieve the greatness, to achieve luxury, to achieve wealth, to achieve respect, to achieve admiration, everything, all the good qualities that we want to achieve a good life, to achieve a flourishing life. But the way, the method that he's used to attain that has been wrong, or has been morally, arguably morally wrong, right? And so we get a sense here that what is the director, what is Scorsese, or what is the movie maker attempting to convey. They're attempting to convey, I think, that, well, they don't believe that how they've done it is morally wrong. Now, that does that make it correct? No. It just means that this is their, this is how they feel. They feel that they're on top of the world. We can judge that and say, well, that's not necessarily how I would, how one would feel, how I would feel, because the way, the method by which we've achieved all this is not genuine. It's not honest. It's not morally correct, right? So, but what's being established here is this is the life, and this is how they feel. They feel, it's, oh, it's just like regular life. I've just achieved all this greatness, and I've done it through, you know, reasonable means. But they're not reasonable means. They're unreasonable. But the feeling that's being projected is that, or the feeling that's attempting to be conveyed is, well, this is just life, and it's a dream for us. So it can be interpreted in a variety of ways, but I think that the, that interpretation is very, very beautiful, and it's almost quite profound that it's been illustrated the way it has. But let's move on to other music, the music of, as we see, as Henry's appetite for wealth and excess grows, let's really listen to the music that surrounds him, or the music that Scorsese inserts that really captures the environment that's developing around him. Again, those two songs, "Sunshine of Your Love" by Cream, and "Beyond the Sea" by Bobby Darin. And those songs, they may not necessarily reflect how Henry's feeling at that particular point of time, right? "Beyond the Sea," as we can recall, was played during the prison scene when he was first put imprisoned with Polly and some of the other members of the crew. And that was played during when they had dinner, and then when eventually he sold some drugs. And then the famous scene when Bobby De Niro and Jimmy Conway's character is sipping a cigarette, and he's looking at Manny, and they know he's going to kill him, right? They know he's going to kill him. "Sunshine of Your Love" is played. And so in those moments, they're not necessarily reflecting maybe Henry's feeling, and it's not necessarily a moment that's being incorporated into where the music is being incorporated into the plot. It's more so reflecting the feeling that the audience gets from viewing the movie, and it's more of a stylistic element, cinematically stylistic element. And again, those add value where, depending on how you see it, they do add value in terms of the art form and how successful it is in entertaining. And so I guess that would add to Scorsese's style, right? He's very good at the image juxtaposed with the juxtaposition with the music. And he's very good at knowing when to insert music and when to withhold music and what music to insert. And I think that those two songs are a testament to that. Now, after those two songs are played, Henry's world begins to change. So the famous song that's marked by his demise, that marks his demise, or marks when all the fun, quote-unquote fun, begins to stop, is when we realize that their crew, or somebody in the crew, has supposedly, or not supposedly, but the likelihood is high that they have killed the two members that were at the party, the husband and wife, and the husband who had, at the Christmas party, had bought that Cadillac car for his wife, and he had engaged in a very, with a very furious Jimmy Conway, who had strictly told them to not buy anything. He said, "Oh, it's a wedding gift for my wife." And he's like, no, it's not. Stop and get it away, and immediately don't have it, and, you know, get rid of it," kind of a thing. And he didn't, and they paid for it in that later scene where the young boy sees that they've been shot. And so at that point, with that voiceover narration, we can really tell that the fun is over, right? Everything is going to collapse, and this greed and this desire for wealth that was so heavily present in the beginning, was it really worth it? Was it really worth it is the question that the viewer is thinking when they're seeing this movie, they're seeing this part of the movie. And so that moment is very much marked by the insertion of the song, Layla, and Layla by Derek and the Dominoes, and the piano version at the end that's played. And so we'll specifically play that, and that is set as a marker. That's like completely a marker for Henry's demise and the life that they're living, him and his entire group, and the demise of, or the destructive nature of greed, or insatiable greed. So again, yes, those two songs, What is Life by George Harrison, that was most recently played, and obviously Layla Piano Exit from Derek and the Dominoes, we heard the last few minutes of that, and then it was briefly Jump Into the Fire by Harry Nilsson. And those three pieces, I think, really much reflect, very much reflect Henry's demise and the time of the movie where the fun is all over, and he's just in a state of cocaine-fueled madness, and he's being chased by the helicopters, the tomato sauce, and he has to get his brother from the hospital, and then he's just running around crazy because, well, he's kind of dug himself into that hole, and I think that music really much demonstrates that. It gives that action, that speed, that excitement, that high, but at the same time cautions us, and I think that's very important because at the end he gets caught, right? And so all that fueled, drug-fueled madness, all that high-energy excitement just leads up to absolute nothing. It just leads to getting arrested, and it leads to a life of misery. But he couldn't separate himself from that life of luxury that he's always wanted. And so at the end, when he says, oh, right, I have to be like an average nobody, get to live the rest of my life like a schnook, and he closes the door, that door closing is symbolic of being put in jail, right? You can hear it's almost like the cages of the bars are being rattled, if you can hear it at the end. Now, to him, he's leaving the life. And to him, he's going to be a nobody because now he's like a regular person. And to him, the life of crime, the life of being in the mafia was put him on such a high pedestal of admiration and respect, and that life of that high-paced life of action and greed is what made him feel like somebody. So I guess that's interesting to some degree, because he's not so much remorseful for everything that he did bad. It's more as if he wants to return to that life, and now he's very sad that he won't be able to live that life any longer. So it's an interesting dynamic there. Obviously, I don't think most people would be feeling that way. Most people would be rightfully ashamed of the terrible things that they've done if they were in his case. But that's an interesting mentality. And that mentality, it most likely is genuine, based off of the way that that movie was portraying historical events. So just taking his sentiment as being genuine can show us, we have a very good purview into that life and into the people that lead that life and their sentiments. So I guess that is quite an interesting statement that Scorsese is attempting to make. And so we'll maybe leave you off, since we're short on time here, with one more song that was played that is my favorite song. It's just my favorite song in the movie, and it's about Jerry Val, and I think it's, well, yeah, well, I'll just play it. Okay, and that's our episode on Film Score Friday after this next song. So we'll see you here back next week, or actually, no, in 2 weeks on the same Radio Laurier at 2 p.m. For another session episode of music and film. Sorry. Okay, see you next week. See you in 2 weeks.